the 15-day waiting period. He ran across to New York where he knew nobody had a gun and unloaded on those people. Now, is there any doubt in anybody's mind that he did it? Now, the cost of keeping a man in jail can be taken care of legislatively. The Congress of the United States has already worked on that problem to stop the abominable appeals. It is a legislative problem. It is not a citizen's problem, but I think the citizen's problem right now is taking care of these killers. And thank you for your time.
Bogart, thank you. Go back. I think we've covered everybody else except Anchorage. Mike, as far as I know, is the last person in Fairbanks. I'm going to take about another 5 minutes worth of testimony out of Anchorage, hopefully a couple more witnesses, and then we're going to cut it off at a little after 3:15. The next person I had up was Kim McGee.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim McGee. I'm testifying for Anchorage Friends Meeting, which is a part of Central Alaska Friends Conference, an organization of the Religious Society of Friends, perhaps better known to the world as Quakers. I'll try to keep this under 3 minutes. I'm going to read a minute from the Central Alaska Friends Conference. A minute is a way of communicating to the world, and this minute is a brief summary of our testimony regarding this issue. The Central Alaska Friends Conference affirms the value and the dignity of human life. We oppose the death penalty as an affront to the value of life, a step backward in the administration of justice, and an arbitrary, ineffective, and uneconomic form of law enforcement. We urge the Judiciary Committee to reject it. We find three compelling reasons for opposition to the death penalty. Taking life devalues life for all who share its gifts. Once taken, it cannot be restored. Taking a life is not right or wrong, regardless of how grievous the wrong may have been. In a world where violent crime makes headlines, there will always be voices raised claiming that violence should answer violence. It is the duty of government, on behalf of the better nature of its citizens, to resist these calls, to substitute reason for passion and justice for revenge. We live in an imperfect society with an imperfect legal system. When that system assumes the power to take life, it attempts to disguise the imperfections of human decisions and human frailties. The Central Alaska Friends Conference recognizes the difficult decisions which the committee, the legislature, and the state of Alaska face in its dealings with wrongdoers. However, these are minor compared to dealing with the execution of real individuals in ambiguous circumstances. Frequently, media, politics, legal maneuvering, and emotion enter at the expense of justice. Your charge as lawmakers is to preserve justice. To that end, we urge the committee to look rather at those factors which cause and promote violence. We believe the proper goal of government is to alleviate the roots of violence. We urge the committee to table for the discussion of the death penalty and to resume consideration of measures which will better achieve this goal of government. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next witness I had in Kenai Soldotna was Frank Katavia, I think it is. I may be mispronouncing that.
He's not here, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if there's anyone else here to testify. This is Dick Bogart again. The only thing I would like to add to this is if our state can't set an example for other states, i.e., short sentences, I believe it was brought out, I don't know how true the statistics are, that it's between 7.5 and 9 years that murderers spend in jail. Can't we do a little better than that? Somehow, though, we've got to do better than that. I thank you.
Well, I think some of the statistics given to you earlier, Dick, are actually more accurate than you might believe. Most people committing a major homicide offense end up spending a considerable period of time in our jails in Alaska. What happens is we're not yet talking about, because this bill focused itself on rather heinous first-degree offenses, we're not talking about those people that get convicted of a second-degree offense.
Well, that's true.
A young woman that just...
have committed first-degree heinous offenses.
The result of the victim is still the same, unfortunately.
There's no question about it. And how many in their statistics, we haven't heard, but I know there are statistics that prove how many of these murderers run their short time in jail, get out, and kill again and again. And this is a proven fact. It happens, the FBI says 6% of the criminal element do 90-some percent of the crime, and that does include murder.
Deck, I'm going to have to cut you off, old friend. It's good that you could get back in here, but I've got an awful lot of people who haven't had a chance to talk in Anchorage, and I said I was going to shut this thing down. I'll take one more witness from Anchorage, please. And the name I had up was a Dennis Hallway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Hallway, and I'm an ordained United Methodist minister who lived in Alaska since 1977. I've been the pastor of Chernigan United Methodist Church in Anchorage since 1990. Unfortunately, the death penalty, like a lot of other social issues, does not rally the clergy around a common voice. However, within my denomination, our General Conference, which represents some 8.5 million members, has clearly spoken on this issue. We oppose capital punishment and urge its elimination from all criminal codes. But you need to know something about the United Methodist Church. Such a statement by our General Church does not speak for every individual United Methodist, including its clergy. To that end, I will briefly state my reasons for why I believe capital punishment is an unwise and unjust alternative. As a minister, I make my decisions by trying to discern what I believe Jesus would feel and say, especially about an issue like capital punishment. When I do this, it doesn't take long for me to realize that Jesus would be opposed to capital punishment. I draw this conclusion for the following reasons. First, because much of Jesus' ministry is aimed at compassion and concern for the poor and the oppressed. I believe Jesus would oppose capital punishment because of his bias towards poor and the uneducated. He would see the inequity of a criminal system that imposes a disproportionate amount of capital punishment toward people of color, and especially toward African Americans and Alaskan Natives. Secondly, Jesus demonstrated his anger when he drove the money changers from the temple. That anger was triggered by a group of people who were not only cheating their neighbors, but doing it in the midst of a sacred place. So it is that I believe Jesus would also be incensed at those who murder another human being. But I don't believe he would advocate any form of irreversible retaliation, such as capital punishment. Jesus would take the high road as he presents proper healing words and healing touch to a murdered victim's family, as well as to the convicted murderer and his or her family. Thirdly, I believe Jesus would advocate for restitution rather than retribution. He would understand how a murder victim's family would feel that capital punishment in no way compensates for their tremendous loss. Thus, restitution, not retribution, could become one small way of restoring a sense of healing, a sense of dignity, a sense of equilibrium to both the victim's family and to the perpetrator. Therefore, I am opposed to capital punishment on theological and moral grounds, and also for basic financial reasons, which clearly indicate that other firm options, such as life sentencing, are more humane and more just. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank all the people who showed up today. I hope that others were able to speak for you if you didn't get an opportunity to speak. We're going to have to conclude the hearing at this time, though we've gone over at least a half an hour beyond what we intended to. If you have comments, please submit them. The bill has not, and unless things dramatically change around here, probably will not move from this committee for a while. As a consequence, there's time to get things in. There will be an additional hearing on this bill. The bill as it currently sits before the committee is solely that of an advisory vote to be offered to the people of Alaska. And we will get that copy out, of course, to all the LIOs so that people can consider that. However, people still concerned about the overriding issue should make certain that their concerns are heard and send them on into us. We will distribute them. I'd like to again thank the members of the committee for their patience in sitting through an extra long hearing today. Senators Little, Senator Donnelly, Senator Jacko, I appreciate it very much. With that, we'll be adjourned.